It's always fun to look at pictures, to look back. During the year, you just keep pushing forward, but then there has to come a time when you sit and you reflect and you look back. So we've had a good year. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. So we want to welcome tonight Apostle Leon Walters, all the way from Versailles, Indiana, from the Christian International Family Worship Center. And his daughter and son-in-law are the pastors of that church, but that's his home church down there. He goes home every once in a while, right? Every once in a while. But he does get home because Mama Donna wouldn't have it any other way. So we just appreciate that he's able to come this weekend and that he has taken time to come. I share with the church this morning, it's not a mandate. It's not like an assignment that he has to do. He comes because he wants to come, because we are in relationship. We are in covenant with Christian International, with Dr. Bill Hammond, and he serves Dr. Bill Hammond faithfully. Someone say faithfully. Learning to serve faithfully is huge. It's huge. It's huge. And we so appreciate his faithfulness. And we just so thankful that he came here. And so at this time, let's stand and give Apostle Leon Walters a warm river welcome. Hallelujah.
Of you. Amen. Give a hand to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Look at somebody and say, it's all about him. It's all about him. Amen. Powerful, powerful worship tonight. And I believe that we went into the holiest of holies tonight. And I believe I heard in my spirit while we was in that, coming into the deepness of the worship there, I felt like the Lord said, You just tapped into a new beginning. You just tapped into a new beginning. And there's going to be more Holy Spirit outpouring, more Holy Spirit inspiration, more Holy Spirit information, amen, that will help us meet the destination God's called us to. Amen. I just saw men are just powerful, powerful, powerful. I needed that. Look at somebody and say, I needed that. We need that. We need that presence. Amen. When God just comes in like that to try to pick that up and put this under it, it's just like, wow, God, you've got a sense of humor. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Be kind of alert in your spirit tonight. I'm going to, just as the Holy Spirit directs, flow prophetically over different ones. I don't know who that would be yet. When the Holy Spirit limelights you, we'll do that. We'll be obedient. But if you could find record on your telephone, just in case it's you, then you wouldn't have to look for it. Amen. When we call you out. So if you go to tools in your telephone, you can find record. Amen. Just have that all preset so that all you have to do is hit the button should we call your name out. Amen. We're going to tap into a topic for just a little while tonight. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you're a new design for the time. Amen. We begin to release part of this word this morning. Amen. You can go back over the message this morning. But God has purposed you for such a time as this. Hearing the worship and the songs that we're singing are moving my heart. We're not made to lay in the bed of our shame, our pain, our past. Amen. But we're made for more. Ooh, I don't know about you, but that woke something up on the inside of me. Amen. And it's never finished until God says it's finished. Until God says it's finished, amen, God has more. Amen. Look at somebody say, you're made for more. Go on, you're made for more. Don't level out. Don't just stop in the place where you're at. Amen. But it's taking everything in your life, your pain, your shame, your gain, your loss, everything in your life to make you to be the men and women of God that you are today. Amen. I heard the Lord speak to me many years ago, and he said, I don't want you to have any regret that you've had to come the way that you've come. You know, sometimes you just always repented and God, I'm so sorry I done this. God, I'm so sorry. God, I'm sorry for those wasted years. The Lord spoke to me. He said, nothing was wasted. I took it all and made it a stepping stone to get you where you're at now. Amen. So look at somebody and say, we're on a journey. Amen. We're on a journey. So he said, you're a new design for this time. Amen. You're made for more. I like that. Amen. Praise God. And I heard the Lord say, realign for kingdom expansion. Amen. So I believe that God's in the process for those that have ears to hear and those that are ready to be moved by the Spirit, moved by the Word of God. Amen. When you're ready to be moved, amen, He's ready to realign you to expand His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We've shifted out of the last 35 years possibly or longer of teaching Ephesians 4 and 5. Amen. That God gave some to be apostles, prophets, 4:12-11. God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. We have shifted from that to Ephesians 4 and 12. Amen. That these fivefold ministries are given. Say they're given. They are given. They're not pedestal ministries. They are given for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints will do the work of the ministry. Amen. So the greatest end time revival is not going to come from one renowned world evangelist, amen, or an organization. It's going to come from the one universal, many-membered corporate body of Christ. Amen. Impacted, empowered by the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you're going to bring that kingdom expansion on the earth as it is in heaven. So the Lord said, get your second wind. Woo! Come on now, get that athletic wind on the inside of you, because you're going to run harder in the second half of your race than you did in the first half. God's created you to be winners, amen. So He said, get a second wind, amen, so that you can run your race to win with a new momentum. Say new momentum. Momentum's going to be a word you're going to hear throughout this year. Amen. Momentum is a force or a power that is a continuing force. It doesn't dwindle. It continues to increase. Once you start momentum, amen, momentum will overpower all the works of the enemy. Come on. I was born and raised in Colorado, and we used to do, you know, snowballs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I know we get snow here, but it's a little bit different when you get in the Rockies. Amen. Because you can start one at the top of a hill or the top of a mountain. By the time it gets to the bottom, it's gigantic. You know what I mean? And but the momentum, just the momentum, amen, causes it to increase. Amen. And God is saying this year, this is going to be a year of momentum, of new thrust. Amen. It's like God's going to cause you to take a quantum leap or get a quantum leap into that next phase, into that next place. And sometimes you don't know how you're going to get there, but look at somebody and say, God has a plan. See, God has a plan. Why? Because you're kingdom people. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. And God has a purpose to increase you and to bring you into a place where you've never been before. So I hear the Lord speaking in my spirit in this particular time, in this season, and He is saying, get yourself ready and prepare for war. All right. Everybody say war. Many are crying, peace, peace, but God is saying, no, this is a time of war. I want you to be alert and on guard. Come on now. Why? Because the powers of darkness are coming down and the kingdom of light is coming in. And whenever light comes into darkness, there's warfare. Come on now. And we end up driving out the forces of hell. Amen. And so the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the atmosphere is His. If you can get into all the scientific terminology, amen, of all creation, it all belongs to God. Look at somebody say, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God, and He is the master of the universe. Come on now. And God has a plan to bring conclusion, amen, to all things. And we read that in Joel chapter 2, amen. But God says that this is the time to prepare yourself for war. Get yourself ready. Turn to, in your Bibles, to 1 Timothy. We're going to start there this evening. 1 Timothy 1 and 18. I'd like to read these scriptures for you. Amen. We have the account here of Paul charging his son Timothy, which is giving identification of true father-son relationships. Amen. But he said, this charge, or this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, everybody say by them, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And I'm just decreeing there's nobody here tonight that's going to suffer shipwreck. Why? Because we have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a spirit to respond, amen, to the word of the Lord. But this charge is the same charge of anointing that you might say that Moses, when he laid hands on Joshua and he was charging him, amen, to take his mantle, to take the vision, amen, of the promised land for the children of Israel, amen, he was charging Joshua, amen, to lead the children of Israel to cross over the Jordan River and into the land of promise. Come on now. This is the same charge that Paul is speaking about here. I'm charging you, son Timothy, to wage a good warfare over the prophecies that have come over you. You know, and sometimes you have to fight that good fight of faith. God is saying one thing, but everything staring you at the face is saying something different. And the enemy is trying to say it won't be, it can't be. But God says it will be just the way that I said it will be. I believe, I like that song tonight. We hear those dry bones rattling. Come on now. The prophetic word of the Lord for some of you has just been laying out there. But as you begin to prophesy to those dry bones, I can just see them beginning to shake and come alive again. Amen. I said, this is the time that my word will live and it will thrive on the inside of you. He said, so I'm charging you, I'm committing you, son Timothy. Amen. According to the prophecy, according to the prophetic word. Look at somebody and say, I have the word. Come on, you have the word. You have the greatest word of all. You have this Logos word. There's no word that is more greater or powerful than the Logos word. Come on now. And then we have the Rhema word of God. That's that Holy Spirit inspiration that brings life into your veins. Come on now. Right out of the Logos word, we have that. And then we have the voice of the prophets and the prophetic, amen, that is confirming and beginning to show things that are and things that are yet to come, amen, to open our eyes, to open our vision. Timothy had a lot on his plate. He had a lot that God had spoken and charged him with, and Paul is identifying that, and I'm identifying that with you tonight. God has given you so much, but what are we going to do with it? Come on. See, I just believe this is a time when God is saying, I'm going to build a fire. It's going to happen through a worship such as we had tonight. God will begin to burn that fire under you. Amen. That will begin to move you to a new dimension of faith. It'll move you to a new dimension of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It'll move you to a new dimension of a vision and a purpose and a zeal. Come on now. And the fire of the Holy Ghost. Woo. Look at somebody say, God's moving. Come on now, sometimes some people are hard to move, but I'm telling you, when I get into the presence of God, I just want to melt before Him. God, there was a time in my life when I resisted God and I resisted things, and God had to work overtime on me to get me to move, to get me to be broken, to get me to be humble, to get me to be lucrative, get me to be in that place where He could use me. You know, I was hard-headed. I'm not going to say I was a knucklehead, but I was hard-headed. It's okay. Amen. But God done a lot to move me, amen, out of the place that I was in. And now He has me in a place where I just melt in the presence of God. Come on now. And saying, God, I want more of You because there's more that You have for me to do. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's more God has for you to do. Amen. So Paul is charging Timothy over the prophecies that have been previously made concerning him, that by them, by the word of the Lord, by the prophetic word, amen, we stand and we decree the promises of God. We decree the gift of God that is upon our life. And then we walk by faith and not by sight. Come on now. And we look for opportunity to begin to excel with that dimension of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on now, I'm hearing a word of my spirit right now as I'm speaking to you, a fresh awakening. Say a fresh awakening. A fresh awakening. Get ready for dreams and visions. Get ready for inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Get ready for the Holy Spirit to wake you up during the nighttime or during the daytime or on your jobs or wherever you're at. Get ready for a new awakening of the Holy Spirit. I believe we're coming into a time of outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on now. We see the Holy Ghost and fire in the book of Acts. Amen. But I believe there's going to be Holy Ghost and fire even greater than what we experienced on Azusa Street or in the 1900s. Come on now. I believe there's a third reformation of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on now. And God will be consume the powers of darkness, and He'll be activating the kingdom of light. You know, sometimes you have to fight for the place that God has called you to. I was a businessman in Denver, Colorado for a lot of years, raised in business under my father. Amen. But had businesses in Denver, Colorado, had three different businesses, and it was all in construction and decorating and all of those types of things, custom cabinetry, all that kind of stuff. But I went through a place of preparation, and then when God called me out of that marketplace and into the ministry, it's been nearly 50 years ago. Come on now. And God challenged me to be faithful with that which is another man's. And he said, I want you to be faithful with what is Bishop Hammond. So as she was just introducing me tonight, I was just being reminded how long has this been going on? Come on now. And I've served Bishop Hammond as a second man, amen, for almost 50 years. Look at somebody say, you don't have to be first. Come on, you don't have to be first to fulfill your purpose, your call, and your destiny. Come on now. I've served under Bishop Hammond for nearly 50 years. Come on now. And I count it a joy. Anything I can do to make them a success, their children a success, the Christian International a success. Come on now. I'm dedicated, amen, to seeing the kingdom of God begin to be built, amen, in those that God has connected you with. Come on now. What if we all get connected with each other? Come on now. And we say, God, I want to serve. I want to do what I can do. I want you to be a success. Come on now. How can I serve you? How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you wage a good warfare over that prophecy that has come over you? Come on now. I see that you've not been moving out on it by faith. God wants you to receive that word, move out on that word by faith, and begin to wage a good warfare. Tell the devil no more. Come on now. I'm here to make a new score. God has called me for such a time as this, and I'm here to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. You know, sometimes you have to get very adamant. You have to get very serious. You have to get in the devil's face. Come on, and reposition yourself for such a time as this. This is what we see happening in 1 Timothy 1 and 18. So Paul is charging Timothy, amen, to wage a good warfare. There is a good warfare. In my youth, in my younger years, I had a lot of warfare that was not so good. Anybody out there? Yeah. All right, we won't talk about it. Amen. But I had the negative warfare at different times of my life in my younger years. Amen. But I count it just joy now, amen, to be able to wage a good warfare in the spirit realm. Amen. And putting the enemy under my feet. Come on now. So that I can declare his kingdom come, his will be done on earth through Apostle Leon Walters as it is in heaven. Come on, God has purposed you and planned you and designed you for such a time as this. Amen. And we're going to move in His design and in His plan. Jump over on the next page in your Bible, page 1045. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Amen. See, there's a need for Holy Spirit training and equipping. Amen. So that we can walk in the place that God has called us to. But he said, let no one despise your youth or your years of maturity. We see in Jeremiah chapter 1, he was challenged. Jeremiah's, you know, was fearful of the people, and God said, don't fear the faces of men. Don't fear the faces of people. I'm the one that has called you. I'm the one that has anointed you. I am the one that will fulfill you. Come on now. So he said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Look at somebody and say, stand up. Come on now. We're not just followers of what we see going on around us or what we see happening in the world. Amen. During the worship, I was just seeing a vision almost, you know, of humanism and how that it is trying to overtake all the world and all the natural, and everything is going to be supplied by a humanistic point of view. But God is a supernatural God. Come on now. And He rules over all of the natural obstacles. Come on now. And so there's nothing. Everybody say nothing. There's nothing, absolutely nothing too great for God, nothing too big for God. Come on now, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Stand up, come on now, to the believers in your word, in your conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Write these things down and begin to practice them and say, am I implementing these things in my life? Come on now. Or am I responding to a humanistic point of view? Come on now. No, we're called out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Amen. You're created for more. Come on now. We don't have to bask in the failures of our past, but we can be victorious in the promise of our future. Come on now, verse 13. He said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at somebody and say, keep learning. Come on, keep learning. Don't allow yourself to wane or to fall back in your study of the Word of God or in your time of prayer or in that time of excellence of the Holy Spirit. Come on now, stir yourself up. He said, till I come, give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, and to the doctrine. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Say, it's in me. Woo! If you're here tonight and you're washed by the blood of Jesus and you believe in the redeeming grace of God and you believe in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe the ascension, amen, that He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you believe that one day He shall return just like He went away, and we will rule and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. Come on now. And we will be kings and priests to the Lord our God. If you believe that tonight, come on now, then there's a fresh anointing that God is releasing upon all of those that believe. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Do not neglect that gift of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Say, it's in me. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. You have one or more of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that should be flowing in you, that should be demonstrated through you. Come on. You don't have to be super spiritual. You just have to be powerful. Come on, you just have to be bold. I hear God. If I tell that to a stranger on the street, they don't understand that. I don't have to tell them I hear God. I just tell them what God's saying. Come on. This is a time for the church to stir up, a time for the church to wake up. Why? Because revival is going to come to the land, amen. And it's the body of Christ, amen, that is going to begin to stand. And we're going to have a revolution, amen, that will bring transformation on the earth as it is in heaven. Do not neglect the gift. In other words, don't put that gift on the back burner. Come on, now, don't hide your gift behind fear, intimidation. I was reading in Haggai chapter 2. About verse 12 or right about in there. And it says, is your seed still in the barn? And I began to research that scripture, Apostle Janet, and is your seed still in the barn? The seed there means it's your gifts, your anointing, your abilities, your skills, your talents, your motivational gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is your seed still in the barn? Come on. The word barn there actually means fear, intimidation, insecurity. Is your gifting, your anointing hidden behind fear, amen, that causes you to neglect that gift? Come on now. It's time for you to kick down the barn doors. Come on now, and bring your gift out of hiding into a new place of abiding. Come on now, and be that manifestation of the power of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit on the earth. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. If you listen to the prophetic word, it begins to identify. Some of you have discerning of spirits. Some of you have word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Some of you have faith, healings, miracles. Some of you have prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Come on, that power, that dynamo is invested on the inside of you. And God said, I want you to exercise it. I want you to use it. Come on now. Don't lose it in fear. Don't lose it in intimidation. But bring your gifts out of the barn. Look at somebody and say, kick the barn door down. Ah, okay. Whoa. Kick the barn door down. Amen. It's time to come out. Amen. Because new life of the Spirit is being released. Amen. So do not neglect that gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Come on. What does that mean? That means you're to be visible. What you do, you don't do in the closet. You don't do in hiding. Come on now. We do it in church. We do it in the street. We do it in the marketplace. Come on now. Wherever we are at, we are a walking demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, I have to remind myself full time. I just look like a human, but really, I'm a supernatural human being. Come on now. I walk through airports and I have to remind myself I'm walking with everybody that have no concern about God or even thinking about God. But I'm walking through the airports thinking about God. Amen. Thinking about His power. Thinking about His love. Thinking about His grace. Come on now. And I start turning my discernment on. I begin to discern people walking around me. And I just begin to pray in the atmosphere. Come on. I mean, prayer changes things. Woo! Come on. I got on an elevator one time and it got full of drunk people. Shakabaha. I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. The first stop, they all got off. Come on, praying in the Holy Ghost and clear the atmosphere. Come on. What is God saying? He says, do not neglect that gift that is in you. Be aware of the power of the Holy Spirit. When I had my angelic encounter in 1979, I was born and raised predominantly in the Pentecostal movement. My parents were Pentecostal. And, filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I don't have time to go back historically, but the manifestations of the Spirit back in the 50s and 60s, when you got inspired to pray in the Holy Ghost, it was like a fresh fire that fell on you. And you might just begin to shake. Your feet may begin to shake. Next thing you know, you're bouncing up and down on the floor. Come on now. And you're feeling something turning on the inside of you. It's like your stomach is full of butterflies and you're trying to relate to this manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Come on. I've had those experiences, falling out in the Holy Ghost and just supernatural things and release of the Holy Spirit. But as we progressed in church history, and then you have the charismatic renewal, and now things begin to shift in the gifts of the Spirit. Come on now. And things begin to shift from just having a feeling to having faith. Come on. And in 1979, when I was transformed, amen, the Father moved us out of Denver, Colorado, sold our home and all that we had. And my wife and I moved, my three daughters moved to Denver, Colorado, to Phoenix, Arizona, and began to co-labor with Bishop and Mom Hammond. And so I was driving down the highway in Phoenix, Arizona, and I just had such a liberty to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost again, Dr. Janet. It was like I missed the charismatic movement. I had 10 years of dark ages in my life. I kind of missed the charismatic movement. So I went from Pentecostal almost right into the prophetic movement or the tail end of the charismatic movement. But I was driving down the highway praying in the Holy Spirit and I just began to weep and cry. And I heard the Holy Spirit ask me, He said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "God, just because it feels so good just to pray in the Holy Spirit, just to have this communion with you and to have relationship with you." And I just kept bawling and crying. And I heard the Holy Spirit ask me again, "But why are you crying?" And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm crying, God, because I know that there's more. Everybody say more. There's more than just feeling. There's more than just excitement, God. There is power. And God, I don't want just the feeling now. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Come on. And God began to open up my spirit, amen, for a fresh faith and a vision, amen, to demonstrate the power. And then I begin to realize the more you grow, the more that you mature, feelings fall by the wayside. Come on now. And now we just praise God by desire, just because I want to. I want to praise the Lord. I want to kick my foot. Hallelujah. I want to shout. Come on. I want people to know I'm different. Come on, look at somebody and say, "Break out." Break out. I believe we're in a breakout time of the church. Come on, come out of that place of hiding into a new place of abiding. Do not neglect that gift of the Holy Ghost that is on the inside of you. Amen. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress is evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See, God's called you to be a kingdom of God influencer. Say an influencer. Amen. So God is bringing the church out and bringing this forward for such a time as this into a whole new season, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be like it was in the day of Pentecost. It's not going to be like it was in the prophetic movement. It's not going to be like it was in the apostolic movement. It's not going to be like it was in the saints movement that we've had for the last over almost 15 years now. Amen. It's going to be a fresh fire, fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Come on, we got a hunger, we got a thirst, we got a desire. How do we do that? Amen. We come to church with an excitement. I'm excited just to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to plug in. You know, you got all these electric cars now. They're just looking for a place to plug them in. They can plug them in. They know they can get enough juice to make it from here to wherever. Sometimes you just need to get in the house of the Lord so you get plugged in. Come on now. God's plugging us into a fresh move and a fresh release of the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so, it's a time for moving forward. Say, we're moving forward. Inside of you, Joel chapter 2, page 800 in my Bible. Amen. Joel chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few verses here with you because I know that the Holy Spirit is saying this is a time of war and He's raising up and activating the army of the Lord. Amen? And so begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion! Woo! Blow the trumpet in Elkhart, Indiana! Napa somewhere? Napany? Praise the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants, amen, of the river and those that are contiguous to it and all of those that are connected in relationship, amen, let all the inhabitants of Elkhart tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand. Ooh, come on, if I wanted to get into end time preaching, I believe we're closer to the end times now than we have ever been before. Come on now. But I also believe we're in the most exciting time to see revival and to see a move of the Holy Spirit upon the earth. Come on now. Listen, we're not going to escape just to get out of here, but we're going to endure. We're going to prevail. We're going to overcome the powers of darkness. We're going to get kingdom of God establishers on earth as it is in heaven. Come on now. It's a time of shaking. Up, a time of wake up, amen, so that we begin to take up the cross of Calvary, amen, so we can begin to declare the word of the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, come on now, and sound an alarm. That's what we was doing here tonight in worship. I just pray a fresh anointing upon this house, amen, wherever we meet, amen, that there will be that portal that is open, and when you come in with a shout, you go out with a shout. Come on now, can we shout to the Lord? Come on, shout to the Lord. Woo! Woo! Hey! Come on, you release a shout out of your innermost being. Why? Because there's a portal of God that is open to us. Amen. Every time we shout, you begin to shake the heavens. Blow the trumpet in Zion. The trumpet was sounding tonight. I can feel the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just causing me almost to bend over. Amen. Just the power of the presence of God. Amen. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in His holy mountain. There was an alarm that sounded in the heavenlies tonight. Come on now. Your prayers and intercession and worship did not just go to the ceiling and back down to the floor. Come on now. It penetrated, amen, through all the brick, hay, and stubble. Come on now. It's in the atmosphere. It's working on the outside. It's working on the inside. But more than that, it's working in you. Come on now. Woo! Come on now. In your car, in your home, wherever you're at, amen, that presence, that portal, that opening of heaven is being opened up to us for fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Come on now. You hunger, you thirst, you get excited. Come on now. This is the best game you could ever be in. The most exciting place that you could ever be. Amen. Is in the presence of the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion. I was go back probably 25 years ago in my ministry, maybe 30 now. I was in our school of the Holy Spirit there in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. And coming towards the end of the service, a young man had a word for Leon at that time. Amen. At that time, that was pre-apostolic, the restoration of Ephesians 4:11 of apostles and prophets. And so we weren't called prophets or apostles until in the mid-90s about. Amen. I mean, prior to that, it would have just been warfare. It just wasn't the timing. But now, amen, apostles are ordained throughout the nations of the world. Amen. It's global. It's around the world. Amen. But a young man came and said, I have a word for Minister Leon. And told that to Bishop. And Bishop said, well, he's mature enough. He can take it. You go ahead and give it to him. And so words out of this young man's mouth is that, I saw you as a trumpeter. Where's my brother here playing a trumpet tonight? I saw you as a trumpeter and you were playing a trumpet. And when that word came out, I was like, oh dear Jesus. I can't even whistle. Let go play a trumpet. And I don't even want to play a trumpet. Come on now. I'm just not that coordinated. And so in a sense, I did not relate to that word. Sometimes God will speak things to you that you don't totally relate to. You say, I'm not sure what all of that means. Well, what I learned is rather than throw it away, I put it on the shelf and I'll wait until. Everybody say until. I'll wait until, amen, God brings it back up or he begins to give you a revelation of that word by another source. And so I didn't relate to that word at all. About blowing a trumpet. I tried to blow a shofar. I can't even do that. You know, it sounded so bad, it sounded like an accident. So I decided not to try that again. Amen. So, amen. And so I just kind of put the word away. And then it was many, many years later, probably 25, 20 years later. Amen. I'm in New Hampshire, in Connecticut area, ministering revival up in that part of the country. At the end of his service, a young man come up to the pastor and he said, now, we was ordained apostles. He said, I have a word for Apostle Leon. I was showing you transition there just a little bit. Amen. I have a word for Apostle Leon. And the pastor asked me, would you allow this young man to minister to you? I said, absolutely. Amen. I can decipher that. I know truth. And, you know, if I don't understand it, I know how to put it on the shelf. All right. And so the first words out of this young man's mouth was that, I saw you as a trumpeter. And I thought, oh my God, I really missed it. Here you are speaking to me about a trumpet and I put it on the shelf and I've done nothing with it. Amen. And didn't feel I could do anything with it and didn't want to do anything with it. Amen. So it was just hanging out there. But his words were, I saw you as a trumpeter. Then he hesitated. Then he said, and you've been trumpeting the word of God. And you've been trumpeting what the angels have been saying in heaven on earth. You've been trumpeting my voice of heaven on the earth. Come on now. And the Lord wants to encourage you. Be my trumpeter. Amen. Keep trumpeting my word in there. All of a sudden, the lights came on. Come on now. What God was speaking to me. Amen. What God was fulfilling in me. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Don't give up on that prophetic word just because you didn't understand it or just because it didn't make sense or it didn't possibly fit into your agenda or into your lifestyle. Come on. If you don't understand it, just put it on the shelf. Come on now and pray over that word. Meditate. Wage a good warfare over that word. Come on. Why? Because in due time, God knows when to activate that word and to fulfill that word. Come on, but don't give up. I'm so glad that I didn't give up on the word. Come on now. And when it came the second time, I thought, oh no, God, I missed it. But I was in my natural mindset. But suddenly it shifted to a spiritual mindset and I understood what God was saying to me. Come on. You may not understand every word tonight. Amen. But in time, come on now, as you seek the Lord, you'll gain understanding of the word of the Lord. Now jump down on in this scripture. Let's go down and let's take a look at some of the, some of the actions of the army of the Lord. This is a powerful chapter. Amen. But we'll just jump down to about verse 6. He said, before the people or before the warriors, people rife in pain, all faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. Look at somebody and say, know your place. God, know your place in the body of Christ. Know your place in your gifting. Know your place in calling that God has upon you. See, that's a beautiful thing about the prophetic, is it begins to open up your vision. It begins to open up your potential. It begins to open up your passion. It begins to open up faith on the inside of you that God has created you and He has designed you for such a time as this. Everyone marches in formation and they do not break ranks. Say that with me. They do not break ranks. This is not a time that you want to be out of place. You don't want to be a loose foot, out of joint. You want to be in the place of the army of the Lord where God has called you to be. Come on now. Whether you're a servant in the house, or whether you're hospitality, whether you're prayer, whether you're prophetic team, whether you're teaching team, whether you're a servant team, evangelism team, multiple teams of ministries that you can become a part of. Find your place and then do not break rank. The most dangerous place you could be right now is out from under the covering, out from under the body of Christ and standing alone, trying to manage alone. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. When you find your place, come on, there's a grace for you to walk in that place that God has called you to. Come on, and you're going to be fulfilled as you're in that place where God has purposed you. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter into the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. The stars diminish their brightness. Verse 11, the Lord gives voice before His army. Listen, I'm shouting that out in the house here tonight. I'm shouting that out in Elkhart, Indiana. Amen. That God is releasing His voice in this city. He's releasing His voice in this church. He's releasing His voice to all of those that will have ears to hear. He's releasing His voice in the Napata. He's releasing the voice to all that desire, all that want to hear the voice of the Lord. Why? Because it's a new season of the army of the Lord. And the army of the Lord is arising. Say, we're arising. Woo, come on, our weapons are not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness and evil. And I'm decreeing the powers of darkness are coming down. The kingdom of light is beginning to rise. Come on now. The army of the Lord is beginning to get into position. When we get into the presence of God, amen, such as we did tonight, amen, there's an open heaven and there's an outpouring and an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And you'll begin to hear the witness. You'll feel more accepted, more loved, more appreciated, more empowered, more ready, amen, for your assignment than you have ever felt before. Look at somebody, say, it's a new time. Come on now. And God says, I'm moving us forward for such a time as this. For His camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, says the Lord. So rend your hearts and not your garments. Come on. I can tell you this in traveling throughout America this year, in all the churches and opportunities that I've had in the different nations and places where God has carried me this year, that there is a heart cry. There is an army of the Lord that is arising. There is a religious church. There is a spiritual church. And they're maintaining. But then there are churches that are purposed, like the Gideon 300 army, amen, to raise the standard higher and declare this is a time of war. Amen. And we begin to pursue the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We see such battles in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 25 and forward. Amen. How the armies of the Lord were gathered to do warfare and to do battle. God has a strategy. Say a strategy. Come on, at a time with Brother Jehoshaphat and the armies of Israel, they were outnumbered by armies by hundreds of thousands, and weapons far exceeded anything that was imaginable for Jehoshaphat. He found himself in a place that only God. Come on now. In our own eyes, we are small. In our own eyes, it looks impossible. Only God, amen, can deliver us out of this. And he called for fasting and prayer at the temple of the Lord. And the Bible says they cried out to God. Listen, when they cried out to God, the voice of the prophet began to come forth. And the prophet began to declare, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. God, I'm releasing that to you as a prophetic declaration tonight. The battle is not yours, it is God's. And God will fight for you. But you got to listen to God's strategy plan. See, the amazing thing about Brother Jehoshaphat is he had the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And he had a faith, amen, to do exactly what God was saying to do. Come on. God begins to give him a strategy on how to prepare for war. In the natural mindset, we would get our chief warriors and our frontline battle warriors, and we would get our weaponry and our tanks, and we would get all of our artillery. We would get everything in position, and we would go into battle with air drive, with ground forces, with the ships, and with the outlying areas. And we would be gathering all of our weaponry for warfare. But God was saying, this is not your battle, it is mine. That's the way you would fight it, but it's not the way that I'll fight it. How many remember what the orders of God was to Jehoshaphat? He said, I want you to gather the worshipers, the praisers, the dancers. Come. It might have felt totally ridiculous in the natural mindset for a way to wage war against hundreds of thousands that were greater than you. But Jehoshaphat could hear the voice of the Lord. Come on now. And he said, if I'll hear the word of God, it will establish me. If I'll receive the words of the prophets, he will prosper me. Come on now. And he put together the worshipers, the dancers, and the praisers, and the tambourines. Woo-hoo! All the flags. Come on now. All the beauty of holiness. Amen. That is going in front of the battle. All of the warriors at the back of the battle. Come on. Y'all remember this account in the scriptures and in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. Amen. But the Bible says when they got to the battlefield, amen, that the armies of the enemy had all went to war against themselves, and not one man was left alive. Totally destroyed the opposing armies. Come on now. What the carriers of the weapons job was going to be was to go into the enemy's camp and collect all the spoils. Come on now, I'm activating this as a prophetic declaration. There are spoils of the land that God has already laid up. Amen, that the church, the body of Christ, is going to begin to gather. I'm not talking about just the church house or just an organization. I'm talking about the people of God, the body of Christ. Get ready for your businesses to open up. Get ready for your jobs to begin to excel. Begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord. Let praise and worship, amen, begin to go before you. Let's begin to practice what the Bible says. Come on now, let's put to work our praise and our worship and that weapon of war. Why? Because God says this is the time I'm destroying the principalities and the power of darkness and evil, and it's by the shout of my people that is going out, says the Lord. Woo. Look at somebody say, new season. Come on, new season, new time to charge, new time to prevail, and new time to overcome, says the Lord. Well, Isaiah 42 and 14, you see God speaking. And he said, I've laid low long enough. Now I'm declaring that over this house, over this ministry, over this city and the contiguous cities. God said, I've laid low long enough. I've watched what's happening long enough. And he said, but now I will cry out like a woman in travail over a child. I will cry out, I'll cry aloud, and I'll stir up my zeal as a mighty man of war. Come on now, and tell the devil enough is enough. Come on, we're in a brand new chapter, a brand new season, church. And God said, let the fire of the Holy Spirit begin to stir in you and begin to excite you. Let your faith be moved. Let your vision begin to prevail and break out the barn door. Come on, bring your gifts out of hiding into a new place of abiding in the kingdom for such a time as this. Wow. Look at somebody and say, God is so good. Ask everybody to stand with me for just a moment. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I would like to, if it's possible, just in a closing statement, I'd love to just move you out of your seats and have you stand around the front or come down the aisle. You say, why would you do that? We would call that a prophetic act, saying that, God, I refuse just to stay where I've been, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to step forward and I'm going to make myself available to you. And Holy Spirit, I want more of you. And God, I want to hear more from you. And God, I want to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer of your word only. If you agree with that tonight, if you just step out, just come stand around the front. There's plenty of room. Man, you can come all the way to my left, my right. Just come stand around the front. Amen. I just want to pray a prayer of faith over all of you. Amen. And just release a prophetic charge in the midst of us. God, we're thankful for your prophetic word that has been released over many tonight. God, I pray that they all have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a spirit to respond, O God. And Lord, that faith be activated in each one of them, Lord. God, because you're bringing them into a whole new chapter of their life. So, Father, I pray right now. Where's my brother David? Is he on the keyboard already? I can't hear you, son. Thank you. It was Elijah that called psalmists. He said, before I pray, give me a psalmist to begin to break the atmosphere. Amen, for the word of the Lord. Fathers, these dear ones are standing before me tonight. I know there are many hard trials, many hard miles. Look at what I've learned. My 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s, and now entering the decade of my 80s. I know the fires. I know the love, the passion. I know the sacrifices that myself and my family have made to serve your purpose and your kingdom on the earth. I know, God, that there are trials. I know there are hard miles. I know that there are tests, and I know that the devil is very, very angry when anybody makes a commitment for the kingdom of God. Lord, all that you've graced me with, Bishop Hammond with, Dr. Janet and Leonard Cook with, the graces of God that has caused us to prevail, that has caused us to stay in the race, that has caused us to keep running, to not give up. Sometimes people slap you in the face, spit on you. Sometimes people make fun of you. All sorts of things, hard places. Loss of family members in your race. Abraham had to bury his wife on his journey to fulfill his destiny. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's shaking. But when you look at the heroes of faith, they kept the faith anyway. And they kept their eyes on the call of God upon their life. Lord, I pray that each one standing before me tonight, God, Lord, have cleared their heart before you. And we're going to pray a prayer of clearance here in just a moment. But Lord, that they come to a new place of dedication. And we say things like, God, whatever it takes, I'm your man, I'm your woman, I want to be in your race. I want to fulfill your will. I want to fulfill your purpose. I want to be a kingdom warrior on earth as it is in heaven. I want to fight more than I've ever fought before. I want to win more than I've ever won before. I want to go farther than I've ever gone before. God, I'm igniting a fresh fire in their heart, God, that they will begin to aspire higher in the things of the Spirit. I hear the Lord say, this is a time of a new awakening, and I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to shake you up, and I'm going to cause you to see your identity, and I'm going to cause you to see your weakness, and I'm going to cause you to see where the enemy tried to set you up. But I'm also going to cause you to see that I saved you for such a time as this. God said, you are warriors in my hand. And you're instruments of praise, of worship, of intercession. You're instruments of my grace and my favor, my deliverance, my healing upon the earth. Neglect not the gift that is on the inside of you. Father, I charge this word in each of their lives right now. I pray, God, for a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if they're not praying in the Holy Spirit in heaven's intelligent language at least 30 minutes a day, oh God, begin to ignite a fresh fire in them, oh God. Don't want to get into that place of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when you pray in your unknown tongue, that your Father in heaven interprets the cry, the passion, the desire of your heart. No, you don't understand it, but your Father understands it. It's intercession for you in the heavens. Father, I pray for a fresh encounter of their salvation, purification. God, that you are purifying right now. You're making them holy as they present themselves before you. You fill them with the Holy Spirit tonight, with that fresh fire, that fresh passion. God, there's so much power that is standing before me tonight, oh God. I can feel the force of it. Whew. Sharavekinise. Vosha. Shananamako torreveyananamahate. Irandeki yalalabavosha. Oh God, give them a passion to want to pray in that intelligent language, oh God, the language of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle said, when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I also pray with understanding. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, God begins to remove that veil of understanding in your spirit, and you begin to know who you are more than you ever did before. God brings you into a new encounter, a passion, a fire on the inside of you. You're contagious with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Father, I charge that word tonight, before I leave this place, drive back to Versailles, Indiana, and then on to Florida, and then on to Louisiana, back up to Maine, back down to Ohio. Oh God, Lord, let the fire blaze the trails, oh Father God, and let the fire keep burning here in Elkhart, Indiana, with more passion than they've ever had before. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I humble myself in your presence. I submit myself totally to you. I don't understand it all, but by faith, I believe that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Tonight, to seek your will, your word, and your way in my life. I surrender all that I have, all that I am, all that I'll ever be. I give it to you. I receive from you tonight your correction, your instruction, your patience, your love, your grace that you release upon my life. I choose to be a better person. I choose your righteousness and your faith, because your faith is an overcoming faith. I decree that I am me will be able to prosper, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am gifted, I am anointed, I am called, I am purposed, and I am kept for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling my vessel with the power of the Holy Spirit. I will not embarrass you, but I'll shout it from the housetops. I choose to be the man and woman that you called me to be. I lay my all on the altar for you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Now just raise your hands. Just begin to give praise to the King of Kings. Just begin to give praise to the Lord. Just begin to honor Him. God, I just thank you. I just thank you, God, that you hear me. that you understand me, that you know me, that you're working a new work of grace in me. I'm walking a new level of faith, oh God. I just thank you for the fresh outpouring of your glory, of your favor, and your power, and your love. God, bless me. Bless my family. Bless my household. Bless my vision. Bless my dream. Bless the work of my hands. All that I have, God, I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give a shout to the Lord, can we? Amen. It's honor. Dr. Jessica. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Power, you may power. Go back to your seats, and we're going to receive an offering for Apostle. Isn't that awesome? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank Lord. You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever we give, it's an act of worship to the Lord. And so we're giving to the Lord today out of thankfulness for what the Lord has done tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've planted in us tonight. We will never be the same, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift up our offerings. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow this seed. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your word says a generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters also will be watered himself. And so, Lord, tonight we're watering with our offerings tonight. Lord, we're bringing them to you. And, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that they will be used to bless Apostle Leon, Lord, and all the work that he does, all the travels where he goes, Lord. This is seed that we're sowing into the ground, Father God, for this work, Father God, of the kingdom. And we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for bringing Apostle Leon here. And we just stretch our hands towards him tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for restoring and pouring into him, Lord, a refreshing in his body, soul, and spirit, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you renew his strength, Lord, as he has poured out, Lord, and has renewed ours, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you just do a double work on Apostle Leon. And thank you, Lord, that as he lays on his bed tonight, Lord God, he will have sweet rest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen.